Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead. Take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
From the Fifth Quarter Studio in Madison, Wisconsin, you're listening to High School Hoops with your hosts, Steve Collins and Jake Steger.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to High School Hoops. Today, this week, and next week, what I've done is I've gone and grabbed some of my most popular Coach Unplugged podcasts, ones that I think that you will really enjoy. I'm giving Jake a little bit of a break from High School Hoops. He's got some family stuff going on, and he's been really busy. So I thought I'd go back and grab a couple of those that you really like. I think you'll really love these podcasts. They're some of the most popular ones on Coach Unplugged, and I think you'll really enjoy them. Before we jump into the podcast, I'd like to give a big shout out to our two sponsors. First of all, Dr. Dish, the number one shooting machine on the market. I cannot imagine a better shooting machine. I know we're having problems possibly getting into our gym this summer. We are going to find a place and take our Dr. Dishes with us. So wherever we can find a gym, we're going to take our Dr. Dishes with us. If you mention Coach Unplugged High School Hoops, teachhoops.com, Coach Collins, anything, they'll give you $400 off. And also go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. If you're looking to become a better basketball coach, if you're looking to take your coaching to the next level, if you're looking for a mentor, if you're looking for resources, if you're looking for the one-stop shop, there's nothing else on the market like it. I will help you in this great journey. It's a very unique product. It's one I would have wanted. It's built by, you know, one of the winningest basketball coaches in the state of Wisconsin over the last 20 years, probably had the most successful, at least Division I program, I know for sure, which is the biggest in our state. But probably in the Midwest, we've been that successful since numerous players to play both in the NBA and professionally. But I want to help you. That's what I could have used. I had some mentors, but something I could have used as a young coach. So go over and check it out and do it now before prices go up. All right. Have a great day, everybody. Talk to you soon.
You know, your background makes you look like an intellectual with that bookcase. You know, I've got a kitchen behind me. It just makes me look hungry.
How is the weather? Now you're in Georgia?
Yeah, I'm in Atlanta.
So I spoke at a clinic outside Atlanta 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. Yeah, it was Hotlanta is what they referred to it as. Yeah, it was warm.
It's nice right now. It's that today it's that perfect fall weather. I mean, it's just kind of, you know, 70 degrees, sunny.
You didn't have any Michael problems?
Any what?
Any Michael problems with the hurricane?
Oh, Michael, no. No, we just got some, you know, we got some extra rain, extra wind, but
nothing big. Yeah. All right, so I'm going to go through my list here. First one is, how do you keep players from doing the same reads?
The same reads?
Yeah, so it's a read and react. So our guys tend to cut a lot. Our guys don't tend to do other things other than the same. They get very robotic. So what are your tips or drills and stuff you do? Because that people have asked me about that a lot.
Yeah. Well, and that's an area that, it's hard to put it on video.
Right.
Pretty much got to rest in the hands of the coach. But my advice and what I've done in similar situations is you begin to custom design the decisions for the players.
Okay.
In other words, it's time to give them no choice in order to stretch them. In other words, okay, you've got one player who always fills out away from the ball. You tell them, look, today in practice – you are always going to back screen someone one pass away from the ball, which might be ball side, okay?
Right. Don't care.
Or maybe you've got a kid that never stops and posts up, you know?
Okay.
So you're just going to say, look, today this is all you're going to do. I got to stretch you. I got to learn. I got to teach you a new decision that's possibly good for you, you know?
Right.
And that's why I'm saying you've got to put that into the coach's hands. When I say it's good for them, what's good for one's not good for the other, and you kind of got to kind of figure that out. Could you give me an example of a player?
So here's what happens is often when we enter, we basket cut a lot. Like it seems like, you know, we don't pin, we don't skip, we don't do the thing. They get very they fall back on it's they fall back on their most common habit, especially in stressful times, and that tends to be a basket cut rather than a back or a skip. So it's like I've struggled with ways to do these work on the skip or work on the back screen or work on those things, because we'll work on it like you said in practice, and we'll even work on it individually with kids, but then when it gets to that stressful time, they're going to all – it's like they just they basket cut or they get their head – you know. And that has been a struggle not only for me but for other coaches I've talked to that how do you break them, you know, do you have any secret sauce that we can basically do to take care of that?
No, but I don't have a secret, but I do think you've identified their motivation, and it's just to bail out.
Right.
You know, hey, if I just fill out to an empty spot, I'm going to be safe. And, maybe they don't really, in their heart of hearts, want the ball.
Right.
Want to score or want to set up the next action. It's just, I got rid of the ball. I cut. I did what coach says. And now I'm filling out to an empty spot and I'm safe.
You know? Right.
Well, I just think repetition is the king. So let me give you an example. Like, so you got, excuse me, five players on the floor. Let's say you're rehearsing 5-on-0. Maybe you're rehearsing 5-on-5, the way we'll talk about in the fusion practice.
Right.
But each individual player, you don't want to give them all the same assignment, because then it's really hard to play. So.
Right.
You give player number one, you are always going to back screen your way out today. Player number two, you are always going to post up one time, and then on the next ball movement, you can fill out. Now, you can get real specific with that player if you want to. You could say you've always got to post up ball side short corner.
Okay.
And I'll tell you why in just in a moment.
Okay.
Player number three. You've always got on your way out of the lane, you got to fill out away from the ball, and you are going to curl around and set a pin screen on somebody that even looks like they're helping. Now, if it's 5-on-0, then you're just going to curl around, come back into the lane and yell pin and set your imaginary pin screen and ask for the skip pass, you know?
Right.
Fifth player, you are always going to call for a pin screen on your way out. In other words, you're going to be talking to that teammate, there's one or two teammates over on the weak side, so that when you're starting to fill out, you're already turning and you're going to call their name and say, give me a pin, because you're going to use it. And you got to sprint out there and turn around and get ready for the skip. It's your job to communicate that to that. Now, so let's say you've got that. Okay. Let me give you another one. I want you to always post up on the weak side, anywhere on the weak side, short corner, mid post, high post, and you're not going to get out of there until somebody else sets you a screen. And when they set you a screen, you can come to the ball. If you don't get it, then you can fill back out. Now, that means you're going to have to give someone else an assignment.
Right.
Like, you will always screen for anybody that's in the post, no matter where they are, that kind of thing. Okay. Now, so let's say you rehearse this for 5 minutes, okay? And 5 minutes is a long time when you're rehearsing. You get lots and lots of reps. Into 5 minutes, you switch everybody's. And then you do it again. Now, they should be, Steve, decisive and aggressive, because they can't make any decisions. You've limited them to one. There's no thinking in this.
Right.
Okay? So they should be very, very – but the fact that you've got them mixed up means if you put defense out there, you know, start with shell defense or something like that. We'll talk more about it in Fusion. You'll be pleasantly surprised with all the new kind of scoring opportunities. And if someone looking from the outside would not be able to tell that each one has one and only one assignment.
Right.
And Steve, I'm stealing this from a coach in Washington State who did this very thing in games, not practice. In games.
No, I think of one of my kids coming back, that there's one kid that he always wants the basket cut. Well, I think at least in our first scrimmage, I should just say, you can't basket cut. You have to do this. And just, I almost have to force his hand
let me flip that for you. If he really likes to basket cut, and he basket cuts hard.
Right.
Then you've got to convince the rest of your players that this is the guy we're going to draft. When he passes to you and he cuts, he's a great cutter. He cuts hard. He draws defense. Has to guard him. I want you, whoever receives, to draft him.
Right.
And then I'd praise him. I'd say, hey, you know, you're going to get an assist every time someone drafts you and makes it all the way in for a layup.
Right.
Well, now you take something that he's been
doing quite well. Yeah. So you're saying you almost have to do it in – you can't do it in drill set. You almost have to do it on a 5-on-0.
Yeah, I really think so.
Yeah.
I mean, you can do it in drills, you know, where you're drilling everybody.
Right.
But I have a feeling you've already done that.
Well, yeah, that's the problem. Okay. If we've done that, it doesn't work. It hasn't worked. Yeah,
that's why I'm switching to a no choice.
No choice. I like the no choice. Okay. Yeah. What? All right. So what happens? I had another coach ask me, what happens when I have two big guys, like 6'5", 6'6", 6'7", and they can't shoot outside 15 feet? Like, they can't make it.
They need to pass and go away to another school. No, I'm just kidding. Pass and go away, preferably.
But I've had that question asked of me a lot about what happens when I've got bigs that can't leave the paint area.
And I'm only joking, because good grief, these kids may be contributing in other ways. You know, defensively, rebounds, their energy, their leadership. Right. You just got to play them. Okay?
Right.
Well, then the question is, where can I play them in the read and react and in such a way that they will not – that their defender – that's really what I'm concerned about, because wherever they are, they've got their defender.
Yes, okay? And their defender's going to be in the paint,
That's right. So we've got to play them somewhere that will keep the lane open for the other three that can get to the rack. Let's just think about simple stuff. Pass and cut, read lines, dribble outs, draft drives, just the easy stuff, right?
Okay. Yep.
So they've got to be if those two who can't score,
right,
block the goal, that you're limited now to outside shooting, you know?
Right. And what happens if it's only one? What happens if it's only one that can't?
Only one player?
Yeah.
Oh, well, what I'm going to tell you is I do it for both one player and two post players. And it's just I would take up the spots in the mid post. And I'd just say – I'd throw them off and say, those are places you can post up for a second if you had to, but then you've got – your home base is either the high post or the short corners.
Okay.
Okay, now – and the reason I say that is even with two post players, I'm very happy with two players in the short corner, two players at the high post, like a 1-4 high, or one at the high post, one in the short corner.
Right.
And I think you should just play around with those.
I love the short corner. I think short corner is an underutilized place in the basketball court.
Okay, so let me give you – here's what I would do. Like if they're both in the short corner –
right.
I'd be telling them they are finishers.
Right.
In other words, when these other three get to the rack somehow,
yep,
if your defender helps, we're going to be dishing it to you, and you just got to be able to meet the ball and try to shoot a layup. That's all. No move necessary. You know, supposedly they're not good at shooting, right? So you're just going to finish there.
Right.
But that's not the only thing they do there, okay?
Okay.
You can, from the wing, you can pass to them, and the Laker cut is just a straight cut to the goal.
Right.
So, they're in a good passing position, all right?
Okay.
They are in, and by the way, I do this with one post player or with two. Okay. They are in what I call an invitation screen spot. What I mean by this is, here's what I'd be telling the post player. Hey, post, in the short corner. Your scoring opportunity is going to come when one of your perimeter teammates, after finishing a cut, they stop and screen for you. They are inviting you to duck in right into the middle of the lane, right in front of the rim, and we're going to see if we can throw it to you, and all you got to do is turn around and dunk it, okay? Right. Now, and if you don't get it, then you immediately go back down to the other short corner.
Okay.
And, of course, if you've got two short corners, the other one just rotates. And so you duck in and you duck right back out.
Okay.
And you just wait for what I call an invitation.
Okay.
Okay?
Yep. What's your feeling on the hook shot?
Oh, it's a lost art.
Isn't it? I think it's like the bank shot.
Yeah. Who do you see ever doing that anymore?
No, who do you see shooting a 12-foot bank shot?
No one. And I'm telling you, I don't get it because, you know, when you're in a slump as a shooter, that was my go-to. I'd somehow get to that angle and just bang a couple of them in. I'd shot it so much, especially for me on the left side. I don't know why, but I really only needed a glimpse at the goal to bank one in from, you know, 10 to 12 feet, okay?
Right.
And this comes from, by the way, being stuck in the post when I was young because I was 6'1 in the eighth grade.
Right.
Okay? And that was my go-to shot. And so later I became, a pretty good perimeter shooter, but if I'm off, I'd get back in the groove by finding the glass. I'd get to that spot somehow. And you don't need the touch, as much touch. You can just kind of, like I say, bang it in.
Yeah, it's an angle thing. It's that and the hook shot. I don't know. Maybe it will come back at some point. But you don't see anybody shooting it at all.
Well, I can remember. You remember when Kareem Abdul-Jabbar just dominated for a decade, right?
Right, because nobody could defend it.
Unstoppable skyhook from every angle, right? I remember thinking, because I was coming up in high school and just entering college, I remember thinking, well, from here on, there's going to be players, a new generation of players, that will be masters of that hook.
Right.
And they never did. Zero. No. You're right. Go figure.
I know. I think if someone figures it out, it could be. I agree.
Oh yeah.
All right. So let's talk about the read and react with the zone as a zone offense.
Okay.
So how is it different? How is it the same?
Well, I think the main difference, first of all, you know me, I'm not going to change the rules.
Right.
You pass, you must cut.
Yes.
There's two main differences I think that you should emphasize.
Okay.
One of them is just our layer two, which is every cutter needs to stop and post up.
Right.
Now, you at least sit down in the post or the opening. Forget about the post. Just wherever there's a seam in the zone. And the first one's right about where the logo is, below the free throw line. Right. To not mid post. That's too deep. It's usually in that logo kind of area. Slow up, stop, sit down for a second, because this is going to be a little slower tempo. Look for the ball there. If you get the ball there, you can obviously score.
Right.
You can pass to, and in a moment we'll talk about this, you can pass to any teammate who's playing behind the zone, short corner to short corner, for a layup. Or you can pass it inside out for an inside out shot. Now, I think this is overlooked, Steve. You know, many coaches, many players, you know, if it's man-to-man, that they drill every day. Well, I'm going to drive into that area, draw defense, and I got to be able to pitch it inside out to someone on the perimeter. I mean, that drill's been around forever. Our lifetime, right?
Right.
And they know, and the – the reason it is it's a good action. It's an inside out. Those shots coming from inside going outside are higher percentage three-point shots than three-point shots that are being passed to east-west on the right. on the perimeter. It's just everybody can test it and prove it, okay? So here's another way to get an inside out. We're not driving in there. You can against zones, but we're passing in there with the idea that most zones will immediately try to collapse on you, and then you can pass inside out for three. Now, it doesn't have to be a three. You can pass inside out and create a hard closeout on the ball so that your player can now drive.
Right,
and I think that's overlooked.
And it seems like the new move is drive baseline, kick to the opposite corner.
Have you seen absolutely. This? Oh, yeah. We're right back into read and react. All of our windows that we do, man. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's a big. I just tell coaches it's the same. Zones don't like movement from side to side, which read and react gives it, and it doesn't like. Right. It doesn't like people moving through it.
Right. Yeah. Now, let me finish the cutters thing.
Right.
Okay, you know, you post up first in the logo.
Right. Yeah.
Well, then on the next ball movement, repost in one of the short corners, but especially ball side. And then on your next movement, ball movement, then you can fill back out to the perimeter, be on the perimeter again. Now, that way, really, you this is an ever-changing – three out, two in, and both players that are inside are entering and exiting and changing positions in the zone
right.
every time the ball moves. And like you said, zones don't like that kind of move. It's hard to mark them, you know, to keep up with.
Right. And most zones, when they get below the free throw line, become two threes anyway. They morph into a 2-3. So when you have that movement, it's real – I mean – and again, we'll talk about this with the practicing, but kids aren't talking. They talk more when they play man than they would play zone. It's crazy. Like there's more communication going on. Yeah, I think that's – all right, so let's see what else I have on my list. So let's talk.
Hang on.
Okay.
Hang on a second.
One more thing.
Two more things to tell you about the zone.
Okay.
Is that
yep, absolutely. Go all ahead.
Right. Having a player near the logo – and having a player behind the zone in the short corner. Not every time, but many times, you're going to create a two-on-one where the center of the zone is going to be wrong. What I mean is, let's say you have a player in the logo and a player in the short corner. If you throw the ball to the logo, the center of the zone, you said that they fall into a 2-on-2 or 2-3, right?
Right.
Exactly right. All of them do. And the player who will step towards that pass is the center of the zone.
Right.
And he will leave, or she will leave, the goal open, and your short corner needs to be stepping in behind the zone looking for a place where the ball can be delivered to them.
Right.
And that way you can shoot a layup against the zone. Now, vice versa, if the wing threw the ball to the short corner and there's not a defender, the corner defender's not matched up, even if they are many times, the center will step. There, it's the center's job to protect the rim. They'll step toward, if not, take that pass.
Right, yes.
And whoever's in the logo should be stepping to the rim. And there again, that the center is going to be wrong. That's what we want to create. Regardless of which way we pass, there's a chance for a layup. It's a kind of a two-on-one against the center of the zone.
Right. And if the center of the zone breaks down, the whole zone breaks down.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We all know who's supposed to rotate over and take care, you know, and all that. I understand the coach who has the chalk last wins on that kind of, but I know 9 times out of 10, the zone does not rotate quickly enough to cover that stuff. Okay. Now I got one other thought for you to consider against zones.
Okay.
And it doesn't matter. This doesn't matter what you're doing. Maybe you've got a permanent inside player who's playing in the short corners and the cutters are simply going to the logo and then back out. I don't know. It doesn't matter. Every time you move the ball, the zone is set up for you to set a pin screen and skip it. Yeah, just slap it. Would you mind? Thank you. If we had a diagram, or any coach that's listening,
yep,
just sit down and say, put the ball in any spot you want to on the perimeter, and then set your zone up the way your zone would shift to cover that. And what you'll find is you'll find two players that are in a position such that we can set a pin screen on them and skip the ball and make the zone. Now, why would you do that? Well, to make the zone rotate out of position. Someone else has got to cover that now,
right,
which means they're going to rotate, and you've created a closeout that you can drive, and the zone is rotating. Is the zone sophisticated enough to switch positions and rotate? Now, so – Steve, I would screen more against zones than I would man-to-man.
Why?
Because they're set up. They're easy to spot. I don't care where the ball's located, you're going to find players that we can set pin screens on. Baby pin screens, diagonal pin screens, the classic wing-to-wing pin screens. The defensive players are there by design. Whereas player to player, Steve, you know,
right,
it just depends on whether they're, you know, sometimes they're there, sometimes they're not. Depends on their level of defensive expertise, right?
So how would you break that down into drills and things as far as, because I love the skip and the pin. I think it's underutilized. How would you do that in a practice? Would you do that the whole way again?
All right. Now here's a favorite way. Okay, you just gotta have a little bit of patience with this. Okay. First of all, 5-on-5. Put a zone out there again, just like the diagram. Put the ball in any spot, top of the key, wing, corner. I don't care. Either wing, it doesn't matter. put the ball there, tell a zone to get set, get your best positions, then walk the offense through who should set the pin on which zone defender.
Okay.
Example. Hey, example. Ball's on the wing. You just said all zones, and they do, fall into a 2-3 or a 2-1-2 when the ball is in the outer one-third. That means, Steve, on the opposite side, on the weak side, there's going to be a high weak side defender and a low weak side defender. I don't care what kind of zone you started with, right?
Right. It's true.
And that's what I mean. Yeah. Those two are there by assignment. That's right. Their job. You can count on it, okay? That's why they're in a zone to do that. So I would turn to my offensive players on the weak side and say, now, look, this one's deeper than this one. We're going to, when the ball's on the wing, you call out pin, you come in and call it, and you line up and get ready to receive it. And after you receive it, now we'll be in read and react. So you might be shooting, you might be driving, you might be feeding the new post player that's inside now, the guy that set the pin screen or the girl that set the pin screen. Okay, all right. Now, so you walk them through, say, two or three of those, all right? Like when the ball's up top, there's baby pin screens, players coming from the corner up to the wings and to the defensive wings and setting pin screens. And it's the old flare screen look. If you know what
flare,
the offensive wings are going to slide about halfway to the corner and it's a short skip. That's why we call it a baby pin, right? But it forces the zone to rotate. All right. So you've walked them through it, right? And you ask your players, okay, do you understand that? Yes, we understand. Yeah, they'll all say, yes, they understand. Okay, all right. Okay. Well, we're going to play now, but it's going to be shell offense and it's going to be shell defense. Defense, you can't touch the ball. Offense, you can't score. It will not turn live until someone sets a pin screen. And we actually skip the ball, then it'll be live. Until then, this is great defensive shell drill conditioning work. I'm going to go stand up here and drink a cup of coffee and wait.
Right.
On you guys or you girls in the middle of action. Hey, no. They'll cheat. Tell them they can't start the possession.
Okay. Yeah, they will cheat. They'll always find a way to cheat in drills.
Always. Now, by the way, that's not a bad way to teach them. That was my second way to teach them is to start your possession against the zone with a pin and skip. And Steve, you could call it. Make it a call. Okay? Right. Example, you use your dribble at. So the ball dribbles at the wing. And the wing cuts and fills out on the weak side, and you get a double pin screen from on the weak side, right?
Yep.
And you just start with a pin. Well, at least you get one in.
Right. And could you do the same premise with man with when they're playing man?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You know, those to me are training methods.
Okay.
You know.
Yeah.
You've got to move a team from
robotic
to creating their own possessions. Okay, that's a lot easier said than done. So what I think one of the stages in doing that is to come up with several different ways to enter the offense, give them a name, treat it just like you would a set play, a quick hitter. They're used to that. And just
hey, everybody, hope you're enjoying the podcast. Couple things you can do real quick. Subscribe and like here and on YouTube under Teach Hoops under YouTube. Leave any sort of reviews, any comments. We love those. If you do any shopping on Amazon, down below is our Amazon link. You know, it doesn't cost you anything, especially if you're a Prime member. Even if you're not a Prime member, we get a small little commission every time that you purchase through our link. And the last thing is make sure you go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. I can't imagine a better resource, a better way to expand your horizons. There's nothing like it on the web that I have found. You know, I have experienced everything that you're experiencing. I've coach guys at the highest level. I've coached NBA guys. I've coached, you know, fifth grade boys how to dribble. So it's, I've experienced everything that you're experiencing, and I am here to help. So, you know, go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. All right, back to the podcast.
Tell them, look, I'm training you. Let's take an example. Here's three ways. You know, here's three different ways to enter the offense other than a pass and cut. Okay.
Give me three. I love this because I think this is part of our problem is we would enter it the same way. We would get into the read and react, and it would become very like pass here. We'd slit, but whatever. So it's almost like you got to come up with call, like this one, we're going to work on a skip and a pin, or we're going to work on.
Yep.
So what would be your priorities if you were doing that? Like you had three calls.
Okay. Three calls. These are pretty easy calls. Okay.
Okay.
And they're with the first three layers. Right. Okay. So, the first one is, I dribble at either wing. And that wing cuts. And if they're open, great, we'll give it to them. It's not false offense, okay?
Right.
But if we don't, we're not going to move the ball because that player's going to turn around, come back, and post up.
Okay.
And the ball handler's going to feed them, and we're going to get into our Laker cut and fill along the perimeter, okay?
Okay.
So there's one.
Okay.
Now, by the way, that's not as rote as you might think because you could dribble either way. You're not – So if your defense is
– And there might be a different kid on the wing each time.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if your defense is forcing you left, go left.
Right.
You don't have to go right. If they're forcing you right, go right. I mean, so
okay.
what?
Okay.
You got a decision there you can make. So it's not completely, okay?
Okay.
That would be one. I really like that one, okay? Now, while we're dribbling at the wing, let's just go ahead and get another one. I dribble at either wing, and that wing cuts, and if they're not open, they post up. But you don't feed them. You throw the ball back uphill. Well, it wouldn't matter which way you threw it. You could throw it to the corner. You could throw it back up top. Doesn't matter, okay? Whoever's in the post steps out and back screens for you because you have to cut.
Okay.
So you automatically – You've gotten a back screen in. And by the way, the kid who sets the back screen, the one that was in the post, they need to shape up and look for, three-point or go rip right. and go one-on-one.
No.
But then you can play from there. So I'll tell you why I like those two together.
Okay.
As quick hitters. Because this is the only two situations there are when someone's in the post.
Right.
I'm going to make this really clear to my guys and my girls. Look, you either feed the post or you don't feed the post. What else can you do there? There's nothing else you can do.
So okay.
If we feed the post, we all know what we're doing. If we don't feed the post, we all know what we're doing. And everybody's still going to get a chance, you know. Like, if you're in the post and we don't feed you, don't worry. You're still going to get your chance because when I pass the ball uphill, you're going to back screen for me. And when I go by, you're going to be next. You're going to shape up. And get your turn, you know?
Right. Okay, what else? Got any other ones?
Oh, yeah. If you want to start with the pass and cut, I would pass and cut and fill out away from the ball and set a pin screen and skip. Now, that way you've got and the pin screen would be by the opposite corner who would be filling up to the wing.
Right.
They'll just curl into the lane and set a pin screen on your defender. And what I really like about that is if you're playing a very good defensive team, okay, a very good defensive team,
okay,
the player who's cutting, his or her defender will not follow you out to the perimeter. They'll turn around and they'll establish, you know, ball right. you man, helping yep. positions in the lane. And that's who we want to pin, you know. That's when a pin screen.
So and with this, so there's a couple opponents, and I know people have asked me this a lot. So let's say we're playing a really, really aggressive team. They're aggressive on the ball. They're literally, they know what gum you're chewing, if I can quote from Hoosier. So what would you do as a set against that to be able to get into the offense and get some looks?
Okay, I would do a double dribble that right away.
Okay, and what is that?
So let's say the ball's in the middle of the floor. It's coming across half line, and you've got your two. Let's picture a five out set. You got two on the wing from the corner, right?
Yep.
The post is empty. Now you could do this if the post was, say, in a short corner. You could still do that if you had. The ball handler, say, dribbles at the right wing. Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
You got me now. First, there's going to be two scoring opportunities right here. The first one is, if this is a high pressure team, the initial dribble at makes the wing cut, the lane is empty, you might hit that person for a layup, okay? If they're a super aggressive, you know, deny one pass away team, that is exactly what a dribble at is meant for, okay? Okay.
Yep.
Now, by the way, the higher the pressure, the further away from the three-point line I'd be playing. In practice, I'd move my spots another giant step away from the three-point line. Okay?
Oh, towards half court?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay.
Because the more aggressive these teams are, the more space you're going to have to cut, and the further you've got that you could beat them.
Okay.
Because a good team may be able to turn and deny you for one or two steps. But if they've got to keep up with you for five or six steps to get to the rim, they can't.
Even if they're quicker than you and more athletic than you?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think defense wins every time, much like I don't think offense wins every time.
Right.
Just because you're over the read line and you cut, that doesn't mean you're open all the time. Well, just because you're quicker than me doesn't mean I can't beat you in a race to the rim when you've got your back to it and I'm facing it, you know? So nothing works every time in basketball, right?
No, I know. No
offense or defense.
Right.
That's the essence of reading red. That's why you've got to be able to go on to your next action. So I dribble at my right wing.
Okay.
If they're open, great, I hit them. Now, by the way, there's another opportunity right away is you might be able to draft that cutter. Just lean in and drive right off of their tail.
Okay.
Okay, so it's a dribble at draft drive.
Okay.
Okay. Especially if you burn them one time with a dribble at.
Right.
Then you can take one dribble and that – your teammate starts cutting, and on your next dribble, you're already leaning in, turning the corner. Now, a lot of this depends on how the ball handler is being defended, obviously, right?
Right, okay. and the ball handler tends to be pressured really hard.
Yeah, well, then I really like dribble at drive drives. Because the closer the defender is to the ball handler, I think the easier it is to kind of turn the corner and lean in and – get around them. You don't even need to get completely around them, Steve.
Okay.
Just get them on your side and lean into them. By the way, this leads to a great drill you should do is put the defender on the side of the offensive player and tell both of them that they've got to lean in on and battle each other all the way to the rim for a layup. Now, I'm just looking for the ball handler to get used to
the
someone
yes.
on the side, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And if so, you don't have to beat people clean. You just got to get them on your side to get them all the way.
Drill on the whole sideline of the court. So we use the court sideline, and we're not even attacking the rim. I just want them to feel what that's like when they're on your hip a little bit. Because it's okay. Yeah, that's good. Okay. You're winning at that point. Yeah.
Yeah. Boy, that's a great message to send them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't shy away from this. This is good. You've won if you can get them on your side there. Lean into them.
And what would you do if you have – what? Do you do any specials other than maybe a pin and a skip for shooters to kind of – because as soon as some kids hit some threes, it seems like the read and react works better because the spacing works better.
Yeah. All right. I'll give you another quick hitter, but – first, let me finish the double dribble at for a high-pressure team, right?
Right.
I dribble at the right wing. the wing cut's not open and I don't draft them.
Okay.
Well, you failed, right? You got to turn around and face the top of the key.
Right.
All right. So this may be between your legs or around your back or a spin, but you got to be careful. You can't cross over right in front of your defender if they're high pressure, right?
Right.
But regardless, you get to that wing, you turn around and see somebody, the left wing is filling the top of the key. Right?
Right. Yep.
As you leave the top of the key, they're filling the top of the key, right?
Right.
And so as you turn around to look at them, if this is a high pressure team, that defender is going to be out there thinking steal or deny. Yep. And this is why I say take him higher, higher, higher. I'd try to tag the jump center circle as high as you can go, because then when the ball handler turns around and takes one dribble at you, just one dribble, that's your signal to cut. And many times you'll have momentum. That left wing, if you can time it right, you know, fill high slowly so that you're still moving toward the head of the key when the ball handler turns around. Now you've got a little momentum. Your defender's moving up and away, and then you plant, change speeds, change angles, and you've got a lot of real estate to beat them, yeah. Now, okay. I'm actually not through right there, because if that player's not open, the ball handler can draft that cutter too, and now they're going right down the gut, right down the highway,
right
down the middle of the floor, you know. Now, in that case that I was calling out, it'd be with your left hand, you'd be leaning in and drafting that second cutter all the way, right?
It's hard to teach drafting. It's hard to teach drafting. It is,
but and everybody won't do it, but you're going to find one or two that just say, oh, man, this is how I sign my name to the game. This fits me. And, of course, every time somebody passes to you and cuts, you could draft them.
Right.
And, of course, every time you dribble at someone, you could draft them. Okay? So, hey, now, back to your next question, like, great shooter, right?
Right.
I've done this in a number of scenarios. Smart player, this one example I'm thinking of, very smart player and best three-point shooter on the team, happens to be their point guard. Their number one ball handler, right?
Right.
And they're coming down and getting rid of the ball, right? They're coming down and they're passing to the right or left. Eventually, they give it the ball. Even if it's a dribble out of the line, they give it the ball, right? And they cut. And so this is really simple. As I said, look, once your feet get wet, once your feet hit the paint, if you hadn't gotten the ball back, I want you to back screen somebody that is one spot away from the ball. I don't want you going to the weak side. I don't want you doing this, doing that. Now, obviously, if you can set a pin screen for them, that'd be great. Yeah. But I would back screen somebody one spot away. Why? Because you're in the next action. You know, you're setting pins. You're setting a back screen and immediately shaping up for the three-point shot. And teams will default to stopping that back screen cutter from shooting a layup. It's like a dunk, you know? I mean, people don't want to get – for some reason, they don't want to get burned on that layup. And they'll leave your three-point shooter shaping up 100% of the time.
So that's a good drill. I'm just thinking out loud. That's a good drill, like – so here's my three shooters. We got to work on setting back screens one pass away and then flaring out the – yeah. So they got to get used to that movement, because that's a different movement for shooters necessarily to set the
screen
to pop. Yeah.
And you're right. They got to work on their footwork. How do you shape up and get ready just to catch, step, and shoot, you know, or to catch and a hop and shoot? I mean, it's all shot preparation, you know.
Right.
You got to set the back screen, then take another step out. And then you've got to kind of reverse pivot and be an eager receiver with your hands ready.
Right.
And you don't want to catch and then pivot around and then look at the goal and then dip. But you're not going to be open. You know, it's all shot preparation.
Yeah, and that's not a normal movement for someone that's a former shooter. That's not necessarily a normal movement that you work on.
Right.
From the back screen part to the shot.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So I think that. And then, go ahead.
And then I'd also maybe, you know, they're the ones you set up a quick hitter to set pin screens for them, you know? So they right. pass. This time you go to the weak side and we're going to set. I mean, I was watching a clip of T.J. Rosin at Emmanuel College.
T.J.'s a great guy. Great guy.
He just gets more brilliant every year. I find myself.
I'm surprised someone hasn't come and grabbed him. I'm telling you.
I'm totally surprised. I'm surprised he's not already in the NBA. Forget it.
Right. I know.
Division One. But,
I know.
But every year he gets so much better in so many areas of coaching. I did these two clinics this fall with him. We called them a two-man clinic. It was just me and him. We did it kind of last minute. You know, we did one in Nashville, one in Hilton Head. And I found myself, you know, I'm supposed to be kind of, we're supposed to be playing off each other, right?
Right.
So I'm listening to what he says, and then how can I work that into the read and react, the next thing we're doing? And then he would take what I'm doing in read and react. He would enhance it, and blah, blah, blah. We're just kind of going back and forth like that. But more times than not, I found myself just like taking notes and being in amazement at him going, oh, right. man, oh, I'm writing down.
No. I know.
And then it comes my time and I'm going, oh, wait a minute. I'm not even prepared. I want to talk about what TJ.
What he just did. Yeah, I know.
But anyway, I'm watching a game clip of his team. And he's got this one really good three-point shooter that particular year. And the kid cuts, goes through, and heads out to the weak side. This is not a call, by the way. This wasn't a call. They set double pin screen. Two offensive players on that shooter's defender. It was a double really? Pin screen for the shooter. Okay, that's how intentional they were at getting their best three-point shooter.
You don't see that.
No. Hey, this is where the art of coaching the read and react comes in, where you can really look. Okay, we've got all the rules in. Okay, so we can now kind of flow from one action to another. I'm happy with the offense. You guys can create your own possessions. Okay, what's next? Well, let me tell you what's next. What's next is hiding our weaknesses and playing to our strengths. And who's the best three-point shooter here? Hey, whenever he fills out on weak side, we need to make his defender pay. We need right. double. I mean, and you just need to start emphasizing.
Well, and the thing is, part of coaching is selling too. Part of the way you sell that, okay, we're going to set this up. Here's our best three-point shooter. But when they start cheating, once he hits two, you're going to get a slip right to the basket and get a layup and a dunk. I mean, that's the way you got to sell it. Sell it, set, do a couple of these pins, and then you're going to get a dunk. Because, that slip's going to be there because they're going to cheat out. So you got to almost be two steps ahead of the kids a little bit.
I don't think that I've ever sold a pin screen, back screen, cross screen, invite screen, any screen. I've never sold one of them as just being a good team player and getting this guy open.
Right.
I've said, look, this is how you're going to score. You're going to legitimately try to get your teammate open. And that teammate may score once or twice on this, but I'm telling you, we're going to teach you how to shape up and we're going to feed you the ball. You may be getting it after it. You may be slipping it ahead of time. Let's start working on your game, and it starts with you setting the pin screen. That's how you get open, or any kind of screen. That's how you get open.
Right.
And you get more screens set that way, right? Do.
You got to be a psychologist. All right, let's talk about your practicing. So here are the three things that people always talk to me about.
All right.
I swear to God. Number one, and these are in no particular order. They ask me about how to deal with parents. They ask me how to get my kids to play harder, and then it's practice planning. It is literally practice. That is the trifecta of coaches that at least in the last 10 years that people have been asking me questions. That's the trifecta three. So you've definitely hit on one of the three trifectas.
Wow.
Yeah. But go. I want you to explain, because I'm only through like level. I have offense, defense, player development, communication. But I've only gotten emails on the first couple so far. So
oh, really? Okay.
So explain to me what it's doing, how it came about. I mean, it's very intriguing.
Okay. Hey, first let me say something about parents.
Okay.
I got a good suggestion for you. Have a sit down with all your kids, all your players, before your parent meeting at the beginning of the season, okay?
Yep.
And work out. This means you've got to have some courageous conversations, truthful conversations with every player in terms of their role. They must agree with you. This is not you dictating. This is we've got to reach an agreement. This is how I see you. This is what you're going to do, okay? Have the players write it down. So when your parent – when your team meeting with your parents begins, every player stands up one at a time and says in front of all the parents and theirs, hey, my name is Rick Torbett. I'm a 20-minute player. I'm a 20-point player. I get to go in when we're 20 points ahead or 20 points behind, you know, that kind of thing. And then the next player stands up and says, you know, I'm Joe Blow. I'm a senior, and I'm expected to score, you know, 15 points a game and get 10 rebounds. I'll probably play about 20 out of the 32 minutes, blah, blah, blah. You know, and they go around and get – suddenly the role is identified.
Right.
The parents catch on that, oh, you mean my son's not going to be playing 32 minutes every game? And not only that, he or she doesn't expect it. It just – I think a lot of the problems come from
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Wrong expectations on three different, you know, from three different parties, the coach, the parents, and the player. And if there's any way you can do that in genuine
– And before we get into the practicing with roles, I do two sets of roles. I do beginning roles, which would be that with the kid. Yeah. But I've never done it with the parent. That's an interesting – and then I do a mid-season one where –
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, yeah. We do it right after Christmas, and we type it up. And everybody – like, I have my role, and I type it all up, and we hand it out, and we talk about it. And it's like they're in their lockers. They take them home and have their parents. And so here's like – so even my assistant coaches, the managers, everybody, here's your role. This is what my role is. This is what your role is. So, because it does shift. It does shift during the season.
Oh, it changes. That's why that's so good.
Yeah.
It changes throughout the season. That would be really good. And Christmas is probably a good time.
Yeah, it's about mid-season. It's about the right sport. All right, so tell me how this practice thing came about.
Okay. All right. Well, that has been – I don't get the same emails as you. So, okay. The emails I get are I run out of time. I just don't have enough time, you know, and it usually starts like this. Rick, I've heard you say that we need to incorporate read and react into everything we do in practice. Otherwise, we don't get the amount of reps needed to master the system, you know. My defense needs just as much work. And my fundamental skills from my players, you know. I mean, if I spent all of practice just shooting, dribbling, working one-on-one ball, it wouldn't be a wasted practice. It really wouldn't, you know?
Right.
I mean, I need, as I mentioned, those others, like, we got to work on our communication. Conditioning is a big
thing. Right.
We got to get conditioning in there somehow, you know? And then, see, I really believe on certain levels, players have not learned how to compete yet. I think it's part of sports that they've got to learn how to compete.
Right.
And so the more competition you can work into practice, the better it is for.
I'm telling you, I think it's a generational thing too. Like, I don't know, we used to compete on, when I grew up, we were competing on everything.
Everything.
Like, we'd play board games. We play, everything was a competition. And it's not, they have their electronics and they compete, but it's not, it's like we'd go in the backyard and play flag football, or we'd be like, everything was a competition when we were growing up. And I don't, I think I agree with that 1,000%. I don't think it's sustained for this generation.
No. Right. I agree.
We couldn't play board games in my house because no one would talk to each other for like a week, you know?
Well, and look, I've tried to solve this problem in a number of ways. I think I've failed over the last 8 years, ever since Reinteract came out. I've said the following, but I've not been able to find the solution, okay? I've said the following now. And the following is, and, you know, it's a quote from the New Testament that the Pharisees were complaining to Jesus about his new way of relating to God, the Father, you know?
Right.
And he said, and their complaint was, well, look, you know, this is the way we've done it. This is the way we've already done it. Here's our rules. Here's our traditions. Here's the way we do. And Jesus says, well, I'm sorry, you can't put new wine into old wineskins. You can't sew a new patch of cloth onto an old garment, because then when you wash it, the new, of course, will shrink. He didn't say this, but that's why, you know, the new will shrink and it'll tear away from the old garment. The old garment's already shrunk, you know. And he's saying, basically, look, you need a new container. You need a new mechanism. Yeah. Excellent. Yeah. For a new paradigm. Okay.
Right.
Well, I've said that, you know, but I've not come up with a solution. Well, I was playing around with this year, you know, a lot of drill works. When I was coming up with a lot of drills, I came up, I think, since January, I created, 114 new drills. 64 three-player drills and 54 and five-player drills that have still yet to be released. They're going to be released here in about a week.
Okay.
And as I was doing this drill work, Steve, this is kind of how it started, you know? Like, I was doing a five-player drill, and I wanted everybody to get a shot. So I thought, well, why don't I make this a 10-player drill? I'll have five players on the floor with one ball. They'll do a certain action and they'll score, right? But what that means is only one player will score.
Right.
Right? The other four just standing, right? Okay, we're done, right? So I told I told everybody to pair up. So let's say you got team A and team B. And this started like this. Team B is on the baseline, and there's, you know, each one of them has a basketball. Everybody on Team A and Team B, they have a partner. For instance, Steve, you're on Team A. Right. I'm on Team B. I'm your partner. And I started telling them, look, you're training partners. Steve, you and I, we've got to train each other, okay? We're not going to switch around. It's going to be me and you, okay? Yeah. So your team – and this is how the fusion starts. Your team rehearses a certain action. Let's start with something really simple, okay? Pass and cut for a layup, right? So your team's just learning how to do this. Pass, cut, fill up, fill out, right?
Yep.
All that.
Yep.
They're learning the language.
Layer 67 or whatever it is. Yes, no, just,
right. Just kidding. Yeah. And you say,
I always tease you about your layers. It's like, oh, my God, cold sweat with all the layers.
Go ahead. Hey, it's got to be measured. Numbered if you're going to teach it and transfer it and learn it.
Yeah,
that's the only reason. Okay. Yes. Let's say you're doing that and you've told the team, it's your team, you know, you're on the floor right now.
Right.
And the coach has said, Steve, your team's going to rehearse this. And after three or four passes, I want you to hit somebody for a layup. Just learn how to do that. And it's not going to be scripted, right? I mean, right. You've done this, and,
yep.
you know,
yep.
right?
Yep.
Okay. So, Steve, let's say you are the one that they pass it to, and you score a layup, right? I'm your partner. I have a ball, right? Okay, now just hang on to this thought. Now, you've got your shot, so I'm not going to throw you my ball because you got your shot. But your four teammates now are going to get their shot because their partners on the baseline on my team are going to call out their name, and they're going to throw them a pass. They're going to do a defensive closeout. Okay, so we can work on defensive closeouts. This is good for we can't right. do enough of that. And let's just start with catching and shooting. All four of your teammates, wherever they are going to catch and shoot with a closeout defender coming on them, right? Okay. Are we good so
yep.
far?
Yep.
Right now, just hang on to this. Picture this. You've still got your ball because you shot a layup and pulled it out of the net, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? I've still got a ball because I didn't pass to you. You got your shot. But for those eight others, the players on your team all took a shot, and they let's say they all went and rebounded their own shot, right?
Right.
Now, Steve, your whole team has a ball, right?
Right.
My team, my four teammates do not have a ball, but I do.
Right.
So we immediately go to offense. And I'm the one who starts the next possession because I've got a ball. Now, Steve, you and your guys are on the baseline, each with a ball. And we've just flipped offense to defense.
Defense.
And now it's randomized because we don't know who's going to score.
Right.
Which fits the positionlessness of reading and react. So I get to start the same rehearsal and blah, 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 blah. And let's say one of my teammates scores, not me.
Right.
Well, immediately, Steve, you're calling my name. Immediately, I'm calling your name. Steve, right over here. I'm moving to get a better angle, you know, to get your pass. And you throw and you close out on me and I catch and shoot. Maybe coach is teaching how to check out, that type of thing. You can't do enough of that, right?
Right.
And then immediately, we've switched. Because as soon as you've closed out on me and I've taken my shot, you stay. You're on offense. I go rebound, take my ball, get on the baseline. And now, Steve, what I found, I was doing this as a drill for one of my drill things.
Right.
And I thought, wait a minute. Now, the player said to me, well, Coach, when do we stop? Because this, once you start this, this just keeps
going forever. Yeah.
And I got to thinking, man, you mean I don't have to micromanage this and start and stop it? I could just let this go. Now that I've got them started, I could go stand over here and take my notepad, watch the big action, you right. know, start correcting and tweaking things and talking to players on in every area. I could be talking to players about what they're doing on their offense. I could be talking to the players who are closing out. Look, that's not how we close out. Look,
right.
I need you to close out shorter, longer, hands up. This is how you check out. I could be talking to just the player development side of this. Okay, guys, okay, girls, instead of catching and shooting, I want you to do what Coach Collins said a moment ago. I want you to pass, go close out, get on the side of them, okay, and give them pressure, and we're going to do what I call battlefield, right?
Right.
You're going to drive with a pressure defender giving you contact all the way to the goal, and I want you to finish off. Do you hear what I'm saying? Right. I could do anything in player development that I want to now.
Right.
This is not just a catch and shoot thing. This right. could be a catch and hop back three. Catch, drive, pull up, jumper. Catch.
Basically everything, hit. Yes. Yeah.
Anything, right? Because yeah. I've got a partner.
Right.
Right? So, and then the offensive defense switches, and I could stay with that particular rehearsal until I'm happy with it, you know? Right. And if I'm not happy, then we keep at it. Now, that's right. the first – that's one mode, okay?
Yep.
because the rest of these, and I've got four or five other modes, is defense. The players that are on the baseline, they come out and start playing defense. Like now, Steve, you're on offense. I come out and guard you, but I've still got a ball.
Okay.
Yeah. This is where it gets a little weird. Okay. I start requiring the defense to play defense, but with a ball in their hands. Now, I'll give you an example. Let's say you require the defense to hold the ball with two hands. All right? Now, offense is still rehearsing the same thing, let's say. Okay? But now, Steve, offense has defenders they must cut by. They must pass around. They can't just pass to anybody. Right?
Right.
You've got to wait till someone's actually open to hit them. Now I can start talking to the offense about front cuts, rear cuts, read lines, da-da-da, right?
Right.
I could start talking to the ball handler about how to hold the ball and get in a powerful position because you've got a defender on you. Now, defense, though, if I'm requiring them – let's turn our attention to them. If I'm requiring them to hold the ball with two hands while they play defense – Steve, they can't cheat with their hands. They can't hold. They can't. They got to use their feet. And right. I've handicapped them to a certain degree.
Yes.
It's tougher. It's tougher to play defense like this. Can't use your arms as well right. to move it. Okay, you got to really switch your hips, use your feet, and that kind of thing. But now I or my assistant coach can start demanding the positions that we want on defense. Hey, this is how we play one spot away. This is where we are in help defense. You know, you're two spots away. I want you here, you know. And by the way, this is how we're going to guard the ball this year. We're going to shade it this way, force it that way. We can go ahead and start in this mode. And so your team, let's say they're still practicing, rehearsing the pass and cut thing, right? All right.
Right.
And they finally find somebody open, and they hit them, okay, for a layup. Well, we're still –
Hey, everybody. How are you doing? I'm doing great. All right, a couple things. Hope you're enjoying the podcast. Make sure you go over and check out ttroops.com for coaches who want to get better. That would be really great. I think, you know, part of the reason I got into this and part – you know, I've been through what you're experiencing right now. I've been a youth coach. I've been a high school coach. I've been a junior high coach. I've helped at the college level. I've coached NBA guys. I've won multiple state titles. I know what you're going through, and I am here to help. And if you email, I will email back. And if you, you know, join our community, want to get on a one-on-one call, I will do that with you. And I don't know of any other resources that will allow that to happen. So go over and check it out. Big changes coming to ttroops.com. Also, a lot of free things you can do to help us out. Subscribe and like here. Leave a written review wherever you listen. You can do that here. You can do that on YouTube under ttroops. We have thousands of videos over there. And then if you do any shopping on Amazon like we do in our house, down below is the Amazon link. I don't get anything from my Amazon link, but if you use the link down below, www.ttroops.com/Amazon, and you do any sort of shopping there, we get a small little commission every time you purchase something because you came from us, and it helps us with our hosting fees. So go over and check it out. All right, let's get back to the podcast.
Still in our train our partners mode.
Right.
Okay. That's never going to change. So, Steve, maybe your teammate, you pass to your teammate, and your teammate has to go up with some contact and score because his defender still has a ball. But see, then I'll be turning to you, and I might have to back up a few steps and then throw you the ball, close out, and do whatever it is that coach has said we're working on, okay? Hey, it could be, Steve, that coach has said, hey, you guys just work on your game. Maybe I know what I need to work on. Maybe you know what you need to work on. And between the two of us, we're just iron sharpening iron. Every time the team scores in rehearsal, we get to work on our game. So you're getting up on every rehearsal. You're getting five shots. But you're also getting – it's not just getting up shots. You're getting training going on there, right?
Right.
All right. I've got – a whole bunch of other things that players do with the ball while they're on defense, okay?
Right.
And it's a challenge, okay? I mean, it's a challenge, say, to dribble and play defense, okay? But then I eventually get to a composite mode where you've got to demonstrate to me that you know what you're doing on defense by what you're doing with the ball. Ooh, this becomes so I got so excited doing this, you know, because it's easy to spot by what the players do with their ball. You know, they got a dribble. I've got a tucking position. Looks like a football running back right, where you got one hand to line with and one hand, the ball tucked under one. Yep. And you do this for certain by the position, that kind of thing, okay? But let me step back and just talk about a big picture aspect of this. My whole time of coaching in basketball, I've heard from the greats that, and now there's studies to back this up now, some pretty hard data that says if you can get players to involve two parts of their brain at the same time in practice and in drills and that type of thing, they develop faster. Okay, now I don't know what area they develop faster in. Maybe it's the thinking, maybe it's the reaction. I don't know, but they develop. There are studies that show you that if you put a choice, as an example, a decision into any kind of drill, players develop faster. Well, as you can imagine, once defense throws their ball off and they can play it, it's easier. This is like overloading, you know. This is like overload training. This is like if you're going to race a 10K, you don't train 10K. You train 15K, and that type of, you overtrain to right.
Right.
Well, I'm trying to make defense easier while working on their player development at the same time, their skills at the same time. Now,
so I'm going back to what I was talking about before with my guys just cutting to the basket, like. I should give them maybe like two choices. You can cut to the basket or you can go set a back. I mean, I see you want them to make a decision in that specific point.
Yes. At some point. Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
Now, a couple of big picture items here with the Fusion Project. Okay. Instead of, I'll tell you my goal. Let me go big goal first. Okay. Here's what I found. I did this with a 15 and under AAU boys team here where I live. A friend of mine asked, you know, it was like, could you teach just the first few layers of reading and react? I said, oh, great. So how long do I have? Well, you got like an hour and a half, you know, and there's other things we got to work on. So I'll give you an hour. Okay. Okay. Well, what are you going to do? What are you going to get done in an hour?
Right.
You've taught this before. It's kind of tough, right?
Right.
So I put them into this fusion mode. I taught them this fusion mode, all right? And we begin to go through pass and cut and dribble that and posting up and feeding the posting and then mixing those three, shuffling the deck and draft driving. We got pretty deep in an hour doing this, right? But here's the and, of course, they're shooting, and we changed our – player development thing that we were doing several times, you know, during this hour. But here's the kicker. They didn't even ask for a water break until the hour was almost up. Somebody said, you know, coach, in fact, I noticed some passes like being missed and some things going on that said there's some fatigue going on. I hadn't even checked the clock.
Right.
And we'd gone an hour without any kind of a break. And I blew my whistle and brought them together. I said, guys, I'm so sorry. I mean, I can see some miscoordination out there. And I said, why didn't one of you guys, you know, just say, coach, can we hydrate?
Right.
And they said, well, that's because it felt like 15 minutes. We've been involved. Doing some, there's not been a moment where we've had a chance to even stop and think. It's just been always something next.
Yeah,
I got to thinking. Yeah, here's a way to build your next habit, you know, the habit of always moving to the next thing. No chance to relax in a game. You're always moving to the next thing, you know. So after an hour, we had our conditioning in. These kids were, I mean, they were drenched, okay? Right. They were drenched. And I've got a couple other things I did with them I'm going to tell you. We had our conditioning in. They had learned the offense. They had reviewed everything their coach wanted defensively. And we got a ton. Well, as best I can guess, my best estimates on this is after videoing this, you'll get about 900 to 960 shots in an hour. Now, that's 90 shots. With 10 players, that's 90 shots per player. That ain't bad.
No.
Okay. That's a lot.
Within a practice. Yes, within a practice.
Within a practice, yep. Considering you're getting everything else, right?
Right.
Now, I'm still kind of a big picture thing here, but I want to tell you a couple other things that I did during that hour of fusion. At any time, I turned on a song. So sometimes, if I'm hooked into their speaker system, I can just hit my phone and turn on a song. When a song comes on, defense has to roll their basketballs off, and it's live. It's immediately live scrimmage until that song ends. They're up and down, and I'm testing. I'm testing. Is this working or is this not? Is it sticking or is it not? Are they using it when we play or not, right? And three and a half minutes, we're right back. Everybody's back to the teams doing the same thing. So I keep them frosty with this, okay? I broke into.
It's a song is always like between two and a half and four minutes. So it's a perfect way of, because coaches have a tendency to get the wheels spinning and then it's like stuck in a mud and they won't leave.
Yes.
Yes. And they're not checking. Not checking for understanding.
Yeah. Either one too much.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want that hard spurt for, like you say, 2 to 4 minutes, you know, they're keeping score. When they do that,
okay,
you know, and we do some silly thing like loser does one push-up or something like that, right. And then we're right, grab some water, and we're right back into fusion. Now, I might be, if I didn't like what I saw, I might be sticking with the same rehearsal. If I like what I saw, I'm going on to the next rehearsal. So let me say something about that. I've got 32 five-player rehearsals.
Okay.
That build and train the read and react.
Okay.
So if you've this is a different way of putting it in than the traditional method. You're rehearsing it with five players. You're learning it that way. Right. Okay. But I'm not using all of your practice time. By the way, I have another way of putting competition in there that demands communication and keeping up with time and scoring. We just don't have time to get into it. It's called Moneyball. Coaches will see it and the reason I did that, Steve, is so that we're competing all of the time, so that every shot counts. It counts for a score. I'll explain this maybe later if we have. But back to a big picture. So in 1 hour, I was done. Right, I'm finished. All right, that left. They only had 90-minute practice. That left 30 minutes to work on out-of-bounds plays, press breaks, breaking down some certain action into some three-player drill you want to kind of sharpen the edge on, work on your free throws. I mean, I've got 30 minutes to work on all those other little things, some special situation the coach wants to look
clock,
at.
Clock situations. Oh, there's all sorts of stuff. Specific, very minute stuff, yes.
Right. But from here on, Steve, I've got the main thing done. The main thing is the main thing. I've got those six areas taken care of in one time frame, one time slot. In fact, I think it's worth a coach thinking about flipping that. Take your first – if you've got a 90-minute practice, take your first 30 minutes and do all your thinking stuff. you know, all your out of bounds play and your
special
situations like you were talking about, right? Clock situations. When kids are still fresh and they can think and they're still transitioning from the classroom or wherever to the court, right? So you've got all the thinking stuff out of the way. They're nice and warmed up. It's 30 minutes in. You take a little water, and then we hit fusion, and there's no need to save it.
Right.
Because in the end of an hour with fusion, we're done. We're toast. And
so what happens when you have 15 kids on your roster?
Oh, excellent. Excellent. I've done it. I've actually videoed this. One particular team had 15. And so we have one ball for the team on offense, and then the team on defense has five, and the team C, the third team, they all have a ball. Okay?
Okay.
And so there's just a rotation.
You do that if you're at 14. You do a rotation where people
–
One comes 14,
I'd have two on this end and two on that end.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Because I'm just thinking of every coach that's listening to this, no one's ever going to have 10 exactly. You know, they're going to have 12 one day.
Let me tell you what I've had. All right, so with 15, all right, so when, let's say when offense shot and they all rebounded their ball, they went to the end of the line.
Right.
Because the next team is stepping up on defense. And we had no problem doing that. Now, there's a little more rest there, because you're resting. But you're only resting one possession before you're back in.
Right. You know?
And then I've also done it with, say, 12 players. So we did two teams of six, and there's just a kid that rotates in, okay?
Right. There's the, again, they're getting a rest every six, which isn't bad. Yeah, it's just –
No, that's not bad at all. Right. I'll tell you, though. It really forces them to communicate. Okay, for instance, I'm coming in for you. You got to tell me who your partner is.
Right.
Every time, because I got to know who's throwing to me and who I'm throwing to.
Yeah, everything we do, and we do triples. Like, you know, you got to figure it out yourself. And then if you can't figure it out yourself, you got to go ask a teammate. And then if you can't figure it out after that, you come see me. So, but I'm forcing the communication aspect of, trying to figure it out on your own. If you can't, then go find a friend that can help you. And then if you can't, then the two of you come and I will help you, because you want to build them to talk. I agree.
Right.
Why'd you call it fusion?
Because I did struggle with the name. It was because
read and react is an awesome name. Like, it is exactly what you're trying to do. Like, yeah.
Right. Exactly. Well, fusion, I was trying to fuse together six areas that all great teams excel in six areas. And I see, you know, when you watch like who makes it to the Final Four, they've all got an offense that's just worth watching. Okay.
Yep.
They've got a defense that is excellent in some area. You know, I don't know. There's always something special. They can't get there unless they've got a defense they can depend on. They're not weak in those two areas. They've got a program, I'll guarantee you, a plan of action to develop their players even during the season. They're developing their player skills. You'll usually hear them talk about how their communication is just off the shelf. You know, it's just they talk on the floor, they talk off the floor, they talk on offense, they talk on defense. Exceptional teams communicate, you know, and then you'll hear them brag about their conditioning, right?
Yep.
That's almost a given. You just can't get there with that.
Yeah.
And then you'll hear coaches when they talk about their teams, like, you know, in clinics, you know, yeah, we won the national championship, but let me tell you something. Our kids know how to compete, man. They compete from the moment they step on the, you know. You've heard it, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's something about them competitive. You know, they just refuse to lose, that kind of thing, right?
Right.
And I thought, I know there's more areas than those six, but those six seem to just stand out. And I thought, if I could just fuse those six alone together, it would solve that time problem that I keep hearing coaches have in their practices. And Steve, I'm excited about it, but I'm also, I don't know, a little apprehensive. Like I don't want to, I know it's not going to solve all the problems.
No, but it's going to solve a lot. Like it is. It is. And I think, and the thing is, I think because you haven't, when we're taping this, you haven't launched it yet. So I think in 6 months, when you and I talk again, I think I will have some things, and then you'll. I think it will be a curve. I think there'll be a huge curve.
Absolutely. I can't wait to communicate that. I'm going to try to with some webinars or something like that. See, I think I'm going to be adding to this fusion project. You're going to see appendix.
You know, right. Appendix. Yes. Yes.
Because once it gets into coaches' hands like yours.
Right,
you're going to find some things in your laboratory that I didn't,
right.
And you're going to say things like, "Hey, you know something? I found that, let's say offensively, that this rehearsal, when we combine this and link this with it, we got so much more out of it." Or you're going to say something like, "You know, I found that when I told the defense when we were trying to learn how to post up,
right.
It's better to put the defense in a two-hand mode." Blah, 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 you know, a particular defensive mode for one particular offensive action. Example, right. Hey, I'll give you a quick example. I told we were working on read lines and curl the puppy dog and all that, right?
Right, yep.
And, you know, we needed high pressure overplay, right?
Yep.
So I put the defense in our two-hand hold mode.
Yep.
And I said, defense, for – next few minutes, I want you to work on, forget help. I want you to work on how close you can stick and shadow your defense. I want you to try to touch your man with your ball at all times. So you know what that meant? It was away from the ball when they were filling. It looked just like, you know, a high pressure way out there over the read line teams, you know?
Right.
And so the kids could work legitimately on their rear cuts and their even dribble outs were so much better doing that, you know?
Right.
Well, I expect that kind of feedback from you and the rest of the coaches who dive into fusion. Absolutely, I am. Yeah.
Right. I think that's what's going to happen. It's like anything, you know, the first Model T is not what we're driving right now. It's like, okay, this, yeah, you know, your first, the first time you did read and react, I'm sure, I mean, that's where all the, all the appendix and stuff.
Oh, I really thought when I first put out read and react, all I was doing, I just wanted to put out the minimum amount. I didn't want to step on coaches' toes, you know, the minimum amount that it would take to keep your team together, coordinated, be able to go from one action to the next. So I didn't have anything on transition or press break or just all kinds of stuff like that. And once it got out, I was inundated with, hey, I'm looking for a complete offensive system.
Right. You're not going on vacation when you launch this thing, I think, because the emails will start. Yeah.
Hey, I'll tell you one other thing I'm looking forward to is the communication between each other. Here's what I mean. Instead of me saying, hey, you remember me describing that one quick hitter we were talking through, I dribble at the wing post up, we don't throw it to him, we throw uphill, they backspin, we go, right?
Yep.
Well, in the Fusion project, that's got a number. It's number 22 or it's number 17, it's number 20. We're going to be able to communicate now in terms of numbers. We can just say, hey, look, we're this particular action, we're killing this kind of a team with number 17. Or maybe it's vice versa. Maybe it's my team just can't seem to get rehearsal number 27. And of course, I'll be able to go look at it and go, oh, this is – you know,
because we don't really talk in terms of layers as much. When I'm talking to my coaches, we're not talking about, I tease you about it, but we're not literally talking about layers. We're talking about, but this, you're saying we will. We'll as even coaches within the same staff. Yeah.
I really think that it will help among all of us. We can, hey, practice planning. you know, to like giving it to your JV coach or your assistant coach or coaches down the line from you to be able to say, look, your team this week needs to cover numbers, you know, 1, 3, 7, and 8, you know, or something right. like that. Or right. it's today's practice. The rehearsal is going to be, we're now ready to take on 9, 10, and 11, you know?
Okay.
And by the way, we're doing 9, 10, 11 because defensively, we don't know how to defend in the post yet. So these three particular rehearsals are going to be putting people in the post and we're going to be feeding people in the post. So I want you to turn all your attention to our defense, how we're going to blank, whatever that is, Steve, you know,
right.
maybe you double team in the post and rotate out. Well, you need an offensive action that puts you in it, right? Like a shell drill.
Right. Yes.
But why not work on your offense and player development and everything else while you're emphasizing that particular defensive aspect? I really think it's going to help
okay.
in those terms, communicating and practice and planning your practices. I do.
And will there be like an append? Will there actually be a list?
Oh, there is a list on there. Okay. Oh yeah. It's okay. listed.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
There's 32. And there's not actual names. Like the list is in terms of what you do. Okay. I haven't come up okay. with nifty names, as you know, okay. like it's something like, you know, like the one I was describing,
right.
dribble at the title of it says dribble at either wing, post up, not open, pass uphill, back screen, shape up. It's the passer's choice.
Right.
Okay. Now that's the title. Passer's choice. You can either hit the cutter or the player shape.
You didn't lose any sleep on coming up with that name. Yeah.
Well, I'm waiting for somebody smarter than me, more creative like you. You got to come up with nifty names like that.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I'll just use number 27.
Number 27. I let the kids come up with them to be the most part, sure. to be honest with you, with the action calls. But okay.
Hey, by the way, every one of them could be a quick hitter.
Right.
This is great. This is going to teach. See, there's so many ways to look at this, Steve. Here's 32 different ways to start your possessions other yes. than a standard pass and cut.
Right. And people are always looking for that.
They're looking for that.
They are looking for that. So what's the exact launch date? Do you know?
I think it's tomorrow night.
It's tomorrow night? Holy crap.
My CEO, who's putting all this together, look, one of the reasons there's a delay is we're launching a new website along with Fusion.
Okay.
And the new website, the new platform, Steve, we need to.
Okay.
When it's out, you and I need to get back together because I've got just a flat-out genius right now at working on this. And genius in terms of setting up our platform so that, let's say, Steve, you know how All Access is like the best deal, right?
Yep, for yep, month. Yep.
Well, I have been, from the day we came out with it, I've been asked by coaches, do you have a staff like, you know, I've got 15 coaches. I've got 4 coaches. I want us to all have access. But I need to be able to control that because our school or our organization's buying it and
right.
the coaches change from year to year. And I yep. need to, okay. Well, we've never had the ability to do that.
Right.
Not only are we going to have the ability to do that and to discount, give discounts to the more coaches you have, right?
Right.
Not only that, Steve, like, let's say you own it, okay?
Okay.
All right. You're going to be able to go in there and look and see what kind of activity each one of your coaches. I told him to watch layers 1, 2, and 3, and he didn't.
You know? Right, right.
Or I told him to watch
it. You better watch it, yeah.
That's right. Or I go in and find out he's watched the whole thing. This guy's hungry. You know, you're going to be able to monitor that. I mean, it's our ability to get to and create groups within our environment, our own better basketball environment.
Right.
It's about to take a huge leap forward. And that's why there's a little bit of delay with Fusion. He wanted those two to come out at the same time.
At the same time. Okay. Yeah. Awesome. Yes,
and I think it's tomorrow night.
We will definitely get together once this is all done. I'll let you go eat okay. dinner. I feel bad. They're cooking dinner behind me. I feel bad.
I don't know. When are you going to release this podcast?
This one won't come out for the first week in November is when this is going to come out, which will be good. You'll have any sort of your kinks worked out by the time this comes out.
Okay.
So that will be perfect.
Right, well, guys,
if it went up tomorrow, we'd have problems probably. But, yeah, it'll be
– when I say we're going to release it tomorrow, that's going to be – a month ago when we get – no.
It'll be 2 weeks ago when this launches. It'll be the first week of November. So when anybody's listening to this, they'll know that they can go on and get it right away, which will be awesome,
Well, it was just such a I was not able to video – there's a boys high school team at Cleveland High School in Tennessee that the coach there is gracious enough to let me use his team during the summer. And players, I mean, hats off to them. And again, no video footage is perfect.
Right.
These guys spent some long hours, so their defense isn't always the best on there. It's pretty doggone good, but there's some fatigue that starts setting in. And because we were shooting for so long, all I'm saying is, there is more footage for this project than any other I've had, and it just took me a long time to edit it and put it together.
Right.
The actual course is over 6 hours, 6.5 hours, I think it is. Okay. But there's some – once you've viewed it, there are some sections in there that allow you to move to find – let's say you wanted to find rehearsal number, 31 – well, you're going to be able to jump straight to it, skip over my explanation. You don't need it anymore. You just want to see the players doing it on the floor.
Yeah, it's basically you've tagged it. You've tagged it. Yes. Like, yeah, I can search. It's like a Google thing. I can search it, and I need this one specific thing. That's awesome.
Yeah, now I've got one section where I'm actually teaching the read and react on the board and explaining the rehearsal before it's shown. You know, and obviously, that's for the coaches are still learning or want to learn to read and react. So I wanted this Fusion project to be just another way, a different way that coaches could learn and teach to read and react.
Thank you. Thanks for taking your Sunday. And we'll get back together this spring after my season ends. We'll get together again. Okay. And we'll talk about this. Thanks, Rick.
And we'll make some huge additions to the appendix.
Yes, we will. Thanks. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, man. Sports Social Podcast Network.